Welcome to the podcast, How to Be Well and Strong. I'm your host, Jacqueline Genova, and I'm excited to have you join me as I speak with some of the leading figures in the fields of wellness, integrative medicine, and mental health, as we discover what it truly means to be well and strong in both body and mind. Get ready to be empowered, inspired, and motivated about being an advocate for your own health. Welcome back to another episode, everyone. Today, I am thrilled to be speaking with Dr. Ben Rall, a chiropractic and wellness expert. As owner of one of the largest wellness clinics in the U.S., Dr. Ben has extensive experience, even serving as the official chiropractor for Team USA at the 2012 London Olympics. He is also the author of two books, Cooperative Wellness and Designed to Heal, which reveal Dr. Ben's simplified methods regarding how you can actively participate in your own healthcare. Our conversation today explores the limitations of conventional medicine, how chiropractic care supports the body's self-healing capabilities, what it means to be designed to heal, and the importance of being an advocate for your own health. Without further ado, let's get into our conversation. First of all, thank you for your time. I'm incredibly excited to connect with you. I first heard about you from an interview you did with Dr. Roger McPhillan.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately I was like, I need to have him on. We share very similar sentiments on almost everything. And I'm a huge fan of your work. I've become an avid listener of your podcast. I share it with all my followers. So it's truly an honor to be speaking with you.
Thank you. I love Roger. He's awesome. He's one of my favorites as well. So no, I'm honored to be on here. Anybody that is in this space speaking truth to power, you know, is a friend of mine. So I'm honored to be here and I hope it's a blessing for your listeners. Absolutely.
All right, Dr. Rall. Well, we all have a story, especially those of us who find ourselves in the health space. And I would love to hear yours and what inspired you to pursue a career in chiropractic care.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best to be brief, but there's a few just milestones of the story that I think are relevant to listeners. So I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in South Dakota, and I was a boxer. I was training for the Olympics, the 1996 Olympics. That would have been Atlanta Games. And so I'm giving away my age a little bit here. But so as in those years, and I'm this kid from a small town in the Midwest, I grew up in just kind of your typical family, I would say. My dad was a fireman. My mom was a social worker. And I wouldn't call us like holistic people or anything like that. It was a different time. People weren't as, you know, medicated and all of those things as they are now. But I'm out in Colorado Springs. I'm training for the Olympics for the box offs and I get sick. I don't know what to do. I'm having all these digestive issues. I go to the doctor and they took a scan, an upper GI and a lower GI. And they, I remember when I came out of, you know, anesthesia and they were showing me these pictures of what they called precancerous lesions all throughout my digestive system. So they look like black ulcers and like red bleeding, you know, circles and just kind of gross. Like it was honestly just kind of disgusting to look at. And there was so many of them. They said they just stopped counting. I said, what do I do? They said, you take these medications. I said, for how long? They said, for the rest of your life. And honestly, at that point, I didn't really think anything else. I just kind of thought, well, I guess that's what I do. So I started that process. Those medications shut down my digestive system. And I struggled like that for about 3.5 years. The medications, and when they shut down my digestive system, of course, I gained a lot of weight. So I went from 165 pounds to 245 pounds. Wow. I got kicked out of the Olympic Training Center. And again, I was upset. I mean, I was sad, but I guess this is what happened. Bad luck, I guess, something like that. So somebody then said you should go to a chiropractor. And I kind of thought, well, you know, I'm not opposed, but I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I don't have back pain. I'm, you know, 20 years old or whatever I was. But I said, well, okay, I'll go. Just what do I have to lose? And it was the first doctor that really sat me down and explained that my body's designed to heal. He said a couple things that changed my life. One thing he said was, hey, I don't think that your body just, you know, forgot how to digest food when you were 18 years old. And I don't think that the cause of your problem is a deficiency in medications. And I know that might sound simple to your listeners or people nowadays, but you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, that was like, yeah, that wasn't the talk.
It's crazy talk.
Yeah. I mean, and so, and some, for some people it still is, but so I said, well, you know, what do I do? And in his case, in the case with me, they found pressure on the area of my spine that the nerves go to my digestive system. This isn't how it works for everybody, but this is what happened to me. Began the process of adjusting me. I got off the drugs I'd been on every day for 3.5 years. I got off them in a week. I lost 67 pounds in 4 months. I went back and 2 months after that, and I got my scans redone, and my lesions were completely healed. I'd been getting my scans done every 6 months. They were never getting better. They were only getting worse. Of course, I was having all the side effects of the medication. And so that was like an unbelievable kind of moment for me that I realized my body can heal. I mean, I know, again, that sounds so simple, but it was revolutionary for me. And so that started me on this, you know, wanting to understand what had happened. I decided to become a chiropractor. One of the medications I was on is no longer on the market. It's estimated to kill 33,000 people a year. So of course, you know, you learn these things as you go, became a chiropractor. And then just the final thing here was when I was in chiropractic school, one of the things that you do basically from the first day is you start working on cadavers. Okay. You work on people that have donated their bodies to be researched. And for me, when we opened up the human body and I saw the divine design of that, just the intricacy, it honestly brought me, I mean, it was a literal come to Jesus moment for me. I couldn't deny, like it overwhelmed me. It was so amazing to think this just happens, right? To think this is created inside of a mother. And it changed my life. I realized that the goal of a doctor, in my opinion, is not to necessarily figure it all out. The job of a doctor is, my favorite definition is, doctor means teacher, right? Which is why we do podcasts, why I'm on your podcast, is to hopefully help people understand what somebody took the time to teach me, which is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are divinely designed to heal, that we are, you know, we can do that. And so that's a long answer to your question, but that's how I became a chiropractor. I had a healing experience, and it's really changed my life.
That's an incredible story. I'm just curious, Dr. Ben, did you bring those scans back to your conventional doctor at the time? And did he question what you did?
You know, it's interesting. I never did, partly, I would say, because I was so young. I didn't have any insurance. I was paying all out of my pocket. And I didn't even want, like, now that you're the first person to ever ask me that. I think I was so, like, grateful to be better. And I was like, immediately, just for me, I was immediately done with Western medicine.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? You were wrong. And you were wrong to the tune of possibly my Olympic dream, to 3.5 years of medications that I paid out of pocket for, $222 a month, for all the scans that I've had, for all the hopelessness. And I was just like, honestly, I've never thought about that question. I didn't even think about it. I was like, you're ridiculous. You lied to me. You know, and so, but you know, now been practiced for 20 years, seen 20,000 patients. I would say what's amazing is I have had patients that have tried to do that, right? I have a gentleman that, was an amazing story. He really was just a real, real smart guy, and he had pancreatic cancer. They had sent him home to die, and he really just did all his own research and healed himself from stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And he went back to his doctor with all of the, you know, big file of all the things that he did, all of his scans, all of his results, and the doctor refused to meet with him.
Yeah.
And so, I hear you. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, are they going to like wake up when they see that? A lot of times my experience has been they don't really care. And I know that sounds a little rough for some people, like, oh yeah, they would, but I don't, I've done this a long time. I've yet to meet that person. But.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I know, sadly, I think many, so context for you, just on me, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer back in 2018. And she's really the reason why I started Well and Strong. I started off just to share her story of a lot of the complementary therapies that we've been doing over the past, you know, 6-7 years. And quite honestly, I'm continually met with that opposition. Even this morning in her oncology appointment, I was sharing with her doctor that she started doing some off-label drugs like mebendazole. And the irony, Dr. Rall, is that his first response is, you know, that's an antiparasitic drug. It has a lot of like toxicities associated with it. And I was just sitting there, I mean, on the phone thinking, yes, but all of the drugs that you're proposing she go on are incredibly more toxic, right? So it's just like, and again, I mean, it's just a paradigm shift in the way they were trained and thought. But no, I mean, sadly, many of them would probably just push it off as, you know, one in a million cases of spontaneous remission.
Yeah. And they'll charge you to have that visit.
Exactly.
You know, my dad had stage four cancer. He was given 2 weeks to live, and I took him to a holistic cancer clinic in Arizona, and it was a miraculous situation. He healed. It was amazing. I struggle sometimes to even tell it because people don't believe it. But in 21 days, he was cancer free of all the scans, all of the tests. It really just, the cancer just literally dissolved in his body when we began to do some of these things. People don't believe it, but it was the same story. They told my dad, I was on the phone with the oncologist when they told my dad, it was me, the oncologist, and my dad. And they told my dad, their quote, go pick out your casket.
That's horrible.
Now, why you would say that to somebody is beyond me. I don't care what profession you're in. Just never say that. And so that was what they left my dad with. And then we fly down. I take care of my family. I moved to Arizona for a while. We start taking care of him. He gets well. And then he went back and there was some like post care things we needed and post blood work and things just to stay on top of it. And again, they refused to even see him at the hospital. So I just, you know, the only thing I have on most people is I've just done this a long time. So sometimes I notice people, I got to be careful how I say this. You know, they think there's a way to kind of like dabble in each. Okay. And I'm not anti that. It's just be prepared. It's really frustrating.
Yep.
Right. Like it's hard. You might think, oh, I'm going to bring this great research to them and they're going to be so amazed at this study I found. And about this, and what is the harm in this, and why not add this? And there's some out there that will listen, but most won't. Most will just blow you off and act like they're God, and you know they don't want to hear, and you're so stupid, and you're going to try to kill your. I mean, I've literally people tell me I was going to kill my dad. I was like, you gave him 2 weeks. Like what? I think I can do better than that. So you get me fired up a little bit, but
we could have a whole conversation just dedicated to that, to the whole medical hex, the power play with those in white coats. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I obviously have been on this journey for a while too, but it really comes down to being your own advocate. And that's what I can't emphasize that enough to everyone who follows me is you make the decisions. It's your health. Your doctor can say, do something. But at the end of the day, you're the one that chooses to put that pill in your mouth. You choose to do that treatment. So you do have to be your own advocate in everything.
So true.
But the beauty is that there's folks like yourself and there's information out there that, you know, are trying to put truth out there. So there's not a lack of resources by any means. It's just taking the initiative to, again, do your own research.
Yeah, that's good.
But back to the topic at hand, Dr. Rall, I have a feeling we're going to go off topic a bit during this conversation, but I'd love to start with a little introduction to chiropractic care. And I feel like despite its popularity, these incredible stories we're hearing, there's still a lot of misconceptions about the field, including like how it actually works and how chiropractors are trained. Me personally, I visited a chiropractor for the first time last January. I was curious what it was all about. I wasn't necessarily having any problems, just more so for prevention, which I'd also like your thoughts on. But can you just start with, for listeners who may not be familiar, like what exactly is chiropractic care?
Yeah, well, you know, you would think me being a chiropractor for 20 years that I would have some great answer for you. And I'll do my best. But knowing just the type of practice chiropractic is a very wide spectrum. You've got so many different techniques. You've got so many different approaches and different scopes of practice. And some people get into a lot of different, you know, modalities and things like that. And I'm not anti those. It's just that you could go see 100 chiropractors and have 100 different kind of approaches. Now, some people that drives them crazy. They say, how can that be? How can you see 100 different chiropractors and it's all different? To me, it's honestly the beauty of it. It doesn't upset me. It doesn't bother me. There's just different techniques. There's very light force techniques where there's really no cracking or things like that. And there's more your manual hands-on techniques. And there's different, there just is. There's, when I was in school, there was over 200 techniques. I don't even know what it's up to now, right? Now, but I think it's awesome. Okay. Because contrast that with the medical model, right? Where it's just cookie cutter. Everybody gets the same pill. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 8 pounds or 800 pounds. You get the same size vaccine. You get the same medication. So I say that for people sometimes because you don't want a cookie cutter approach. You want it to be individualized. You want it to be some doctors use x-rays. I take x-rays. Some don't use x-rays and some there's just a variety there. But in simple terms, here's what I would say. at the baseline of chiropractic, and most schools and universities would teach this, which is the nerve system is the master control of the body. The brain sits obviously up here, has a tail on it called your spinal cord. Out of there goes nerves that go everywhere in your body. If there's pressure or interference in that nerve system or on that nerve system, it's going to interfere with the normal function of wherever those nerves go, right? So the extreme example was my case. I had pressure on the nerves that went to my digestive system. Thus, my digestive system wasn't working as designed. Eventually, I got a symptom. The chiropractor was able to remove that pressure enough that the digestive system went back to normal. My body healed. Okay. He didn't treat my digestive issues or my precancerous lesions. He actually just, you know, took the pressure off of the nerve system so the body healed.
And Dr. Ben, was that pressure building up your entire life? Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick pause to share with you a bit more about today's episode sponsor. Have you ever thought to yourself, why is Manuka honey so special? Or even, why is it so expensive? Well, for starters, based on a large number of studies plus anecdotal evidence, Manuka honey benefits range from helping to heal sore throats and digestive illnesses to reducing acne and gingivitis. It's honestly a miracle worker. My favorite ways to incorporate Manuka honey into my daily routine include mixing it in my favorite tea, adding it to my morning smoothies, using it as a glaze over chicken or fish, or drizzling it in my granola or acai bowls. Like most things today, though, not all honeys are created equal. To obtain the most benefits, you'll need to know the specific types of raw, unpasteurized honeys to look for, including real Manuka honey, which is why I love Wetterspoon. Wetterspoon's passion for holistic health is rooted in the rolling hills of New Zealand, where every flavorful drop of Wetterspoon Manuka honey is born. While Manuka honey can be a bit expensive, a little goes a long way. Plus, they're offering Well and Strong followers 15% off with the code WELLANDSTRONG at checkout. Now, back to my conversation.
So it's a great question, and here's how I would probably answer it. I think you have two things here. You have the trauma, right? Like a car accident or a slip and fall or birth trauma. Okay, is very real. I mean, I've got two kids; they were adjusted moments after they were born. All right, and so some people are like, "That's crazy. What are you doing?" Right, and this is where some people just stop listening because they're like, "What is?" But here's what again was fascinating to me, and you'll get me on a little soapbox here. So it's crazy to people. For a baby to get adjusted after getting pushed down through a birth canal, but it's not crazy for them to put a hepatitis B shot inside of a baby after it's a few hours old, which is only received through sexually transmitted diseases or intravenous drug use. So pick your crazy. I'd rather work on the fact that that maybe the baby got, when it got pulled out by a doctor by forceps, something could have happened. Call me crazy. Now, so back to chiropractic for a second. So then you also can have these micro traumas, right? More of the, hey, we sit at computers, we are on our phones, we're in gravity, poor posture, poor sleep position, where this pressure can build up over time. Here's kind of the caveat, though, is in order for you to feel it, most nerve, now we kind of grew up with like the old, you know, touch a hot stove and we feel it and we pull our hand back. Most of our nerves don't sense pain, okay? So you can have pressure on a nerve and have no pain with it. Matter of fact, thank goodness you don't to some degree. You have 90,000 miles of nerves. If you felt them all, you'd lose your mind, right? Like you aren't feeling the nerve that goes to your heart right now. You can't feel the nerve that goes to your lungs, your kidneys, your bowels. Thank goodness. You'd lose your mind. Okay. So it's good that you don't feel this. Only about 10% of the nerves feel pain. The challenge with that is what we're talking about here though, right? You could have pressure there and not feel it. But just to help people wrap their head around this really quickly, this isn't that weird. You can have, you know, we maybe have heard stories. Maybe your mother was one of them. My dad was. She didn't necessarily feel her breast cancer on the first day, right? She didn't go, oh my gosh, I think I have breast cancer today. It was building oftentimes for years and years and years and years before you feel it, right?
Yeah.
They'll even say with cancer, by the time you feel it, it's often too late. So same thing. You can have a cavity and not feel it. You can have a brain tumor and not feel it. And so this isn't like a unique concept to chiropractic. It's just that people often associate chiropractic with when my back hurts, right? Then I go get my back cracked.
Right.
I think that's a very limited view of chiropractic. That's kind of like using your cell phone for its calculator and nothing else. You're missing a lot of the benefits of that. So chiropractic's major premise is the fact that we're a self-healing, self-regulating body. Okay. That kind of a term for that is vitalism, that we're more than the sum of its parts. The body's designed to heal, right? Cut your arm, the body heals, the band-aid doesn't heal it, right? When you break your arm and you put a cast on it, the cast doesn't heal it. Your body re-knits that bone together. Our philosophy, if you will, and science is that the nerve system is the master controller. Yeah. We don't want interference onto that. By many different techniques, we do things to remove that interference, sometimes through adjusting, sometimes through postural training, sometimes through, you know, there's a lot of different things that different chiropractors do. And we believe then if we get the pressure off of there, then the body's going to heal and function better.
Interesting. So let's say a mother brings her child, her newborn baby to you for an adjustment. You wouldn't necessarily do an x-ray on that baby though, would you?
So personally, I do not. You know, and again, I leave that up to each individual doctor based on the presenting issues of the child, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if some baby came in with severe injury from the birth trauma, there might be grounds to do that, but I don't personally do that. Babies, by that, they're so little, they haven't been walking around and working at computers for 20 hours a day. So it's usually just upper neck birth trauma, okay? Yeah. And so you can usually palpate that, and there's different tests that we're trained to do. I have additional training in pediatric chiropractic, and so there's ways of understanding and kind of feeling for normal in there to understand if they need an adjustment. Most people don't realize, like an adjustment of a baby, you almost wouldn't know I'm adjusting them. I mean, it's incredible. I'm not like cracking their necks. Okay. It's very, very light. A lot of babies, when I adjust them, they literally are sleeping and they don't wake up. Like they're just laying there sleeping. I check them. If they need to be adjusted, I adjust them. Most of them just stay asleep. But some of the things that even the research on chiropractic has shown is chiropractic helps with ear infections. Chiropractic helps with colic. Chiropractic helps with latching, breastfeeding. It helps with just a variety of things, immune system. And so again, people say, well, how does that happen? Right? Like, how can you adjust my baby's neck and their ear infections go away? Or how can you adjust my neck and they feed better? Well, the only reason it's weird for a lot of people is because it's new, right? Because yeah. Again, I would say the same thing. I think it's weird that you think you can poison your body to health. I think it's weird you think you can put a jab inside of your body and it's going to make your body healthier. Like, that's crazy to me. So it's only because it's new to people a lot. But at the very top of the neck, that's where all of the cranial nerves come out. One of them is cranial nerve number 10. It's your vagus nerve. It's called your master nerve. Vagus means master. Most people actually have learned a lot about it in these last few years because they measure things like heart rate variability. Mm-hmm. Heart rate variability is the function of your vagus nerve, right? Sympathetic, parasympathetic nerve system. Well, that's where all that starts. And those nerves go to things like your stomach. So a lot of babies that we help with colic, they're having indigestion because there's pressure on their neck affecting their stomach. Okay. And so if you find pressure there and you can get rid of it and the babies are feeling better, then I'm going to tell you a quick story. This will surprise some people. So I had a mom and dad that came to my office. Now, they were not holistically minded. Their little girl had ear infections. They just followed the doctor's recommendations. The doctor put her on a 10-day course of antibiotics. The 10-day course of antibiotics destroyed this little girl's gut. Okay. It gave this little girl constipation, severe constipation. Like she was, bloated and crying and inconsolable. They went to the doctor again. The doctor wanted to take this little girl and Botox her anus.
That's insanity.
Okay? It is insanity. The first time I'd ever heard of this. I thought they were lying to me. I've never heard them doing this, right? And the dad in that moment was like, this can't be true. Like this, what is, like, he had like that moment in his, right? Like, what is happening? They're going to Botox my daughter's bottom. Okay. So they brought her in. Somebody referred her. Actually, their babysitter who I take care of said, well, have you ever tried chiropractic? And they were like, a lot of people, like, why would I go to a chiropractor? Right. They're not even real doctors. They're quacks. And, but they had been failed by the medical system. So they came into my office. I ended up finding an area that I needed to adjust on this little girl, adjusted her, and she had a massive bowel movement when she got to the car. Okay. And so that was like, the parents were like, what is happening? Right. I mean, thankful, yeah, but still like, how can this happen? And the thing that happens sometimes, I've done this for so long, I kind of forget how miraculous it is, right? Like I just do it every day and I watch miracles happen, or they're not miracles. They're just the body's designed to heal. But to people that hear this, they think it sounds like, how is it? It's like, it's magic. It's not magic. It's just when you take pressure off of the nerves that control the bowels and it releases, you know, it feels better.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. And I think the sad thing is that it often takes like an extreme experience like that before uh-huh. people's eyes are actually opened, right? Like same thing with our faith. Once your eyes are opened, uh-huh. you can't go back to your old way. And one thing I love about you and your podcast is that you are so unapologetic when it comes to integrating uh-huh. your faith in your practice. And one thing I love about chiropractic is that's essentially what it does. As you've been uh-huh. saying this whole time, it promotes your body's self-healing capabilities. And that is how God designed us, right? Yeah. That we have the ability to heal even with stage 4 cancers, as your dad experienced. When put in the right environment and given the right things, the body does heal. So it's truly just a different mindset, right? And how we approach sickness and disease, and mindset is certainly one of the most important factors when it comes to healing.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Well said.
Yeah. Well, also, Dr. Also, you mentioned before that, you know, sadly, many people, when they hear chiropractic care, they automatically think of quackery.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
Sure.
But with that, let's say someone is perhaps a bit hesitant, you know, before yeah. seeing a chiropractor. What are some of the things that they should, I guess, maybe like look out for prior to selecting one? So you mentioned that you personally do x-rays at your clinic. Yeah. Not everyone does. But are there like, I don't know, maybe habits or practices that people should look out for?
You know, so I'll do my best. I mean, because I have a hard time. I don't want to be too disparaging because there's so many techniques, right? So, and I've experienced many of those techniques. I've got many friends that do different techniques and different forms of analysis. So what I would usually say is the best ones are often people that you know that can refer you to one they've had a good experience with, right? So if you have a friend that's like, hey, man, I love my chiropractor. They've been taking care of me for, you know, X amount of time and I've had great results. That's a pretty good sign that they're doing the right thing, right? Now, there's some chiropractors that specialize in like car accidents and mm-hmm. things like that, right? So those are often, they're running a different type of environment because they're doing like just car accident rehab. And that often involves insurance and different things like that. So if that's a kind of, I almost put that in another category. I'm not anti that. I just, that's kind of that world. And then you have your wellness-based chiropractic, right? And that's how I practice. I'm a family wellness-based chiropractor. And because of that, then, we teach a lot about lifestyle. We teach a lot about wellness and prevention. Certainly a healthy spine is part of that. I kind of equate it to like if I was a dentist, of course, we'd probably check your teeth and clean them and fix cavities. But then I'd probably teach you preventative things, right? Like probably talk about brushing your teeth, probably talk about flossing and different food things and things like that. So I just would really encourage somebody. I mean, trust your gut, trust your instinct. If you feel like it's not jiving with you, right, on your philosophy of health and healing. Some chiropractors are more just kind of medically minded, right? They just kind of treat pain and adjust you a few times and then see you when you hurt again. And that's their prerogative. And then some are more like, hey, we're more of a wellness. So if we know the nerve system is only 10% pain, well, I'm not just going to wait for your pain to show up, right? We don't do that anymore. I'm going to wait for my roof to leak, or I'm going to wait for my tires to blow up. I'm going to wait for my engine to blow up. That's not really how I practice healthcare. And so depending on what you're looking for is really, but now here's, but you bring up a point a little bit, which is some people that are hesitant. I can speak more to that. I mean, if you're hesitant, I would just ask a few questions like, why are you hesitant, right? Mm-hmm. Are you afraid? Do you think it's expensive? Do you think they're not real doctors? Well, there's answers to all those questions, right? Like, and they're probably different than you think. A lot of the reason that people think that chiropractors are quacks is because there was actually a lawsuit or a case that happened where the chiropractic profession sued the American Medical Association in the late 80s because they were trying to destroy chiropractic. That's actually where the term quack came from. They labeled us as that. They had literally like an underground group of people trying to destroy the profession of chiropractic. We sued them and we won. They had to formally admit and publish a letter in their medical journal apologizing to chiropractic for that. Now, but the damage had been done in the sense that it created a generation of people that, right, quackery, quackery, quackery. Matter of fact, I just had a medical doctor. I was on her show a while ago and she was just interviewing me and we were talking about chiropractic and she was kind of new to it. She's like, I had no idea. Matter of fact, when I was telling her about working on cadavers, she was like, you guys work on cadavers? I was actually more surprised she worked on cadavers because I thought all they did was look at pills. So my point in this is, and there's a lot of side-by-side studies. The education of chiropractic is actually, we have more clinical hours than the medical doctors, at least in the medical school. Now, some go on and do extra training, just like they do in chiropractic. There's neurology diplomats and pediatric diplomats and all sorts of, you know, internal medicine diplomats and radiology. So long answer to your question about how do you find a good chiropractor? I would work through people that you know and trust that have had good experiences that then align with your philosophy. So sometimes I have people that come to my office and they said, hey, I really don't want x-rays, right? I don't want to get, you know, radiated. And so if I feel like I can still safely take care of them without that information, we'll do that, right? I have other scans I use. I do thermography and I use heart rate variability and I use muscle scan testing. So if I feel like I can still safely provide care for them, you know, without doing that, like it's a give and take relationship. I'm not the, like you said earlier, I'm not the boss. It's ultimately their choice, right? And I try to come now, if I feel like there's underlying concerns and before I adjust them, I need to take a picture of that to see if it's safe for me to adjust them, then, you know, that's possible. So
yeah,
again, a little bit of a long question answer to your question.
No, I couldn't agree more to all of that. I think the irony is that sadly, and again, it's just the way things have been presented or rather misrepresented in society, is that if someone has that MD behind their name, they right. automatically, you know, garner trust from the patient. So sometimes I wonder, like, if we could do an experiment where a patient sees a chiropractor who's just trained as a chiro, and then someone who sees like an MD and then a chiro, like, what is the trust difference there?
There was a big study done in Chicago. This had been years ago, but it was done by an insurance company. And they actually were comparing, it's weird you bring this up, but they were comparing medical doctors as primary care and chiropractors as primary care. And it ended up being a fascinating study because the rates of, you know, a pleasure, you know, however the success of those visits, the like 97% rate of approval from the patient, better outcomes. Try to think of the top of my head, like 87% less pharmaceutical use, 30% less hospitalizations, like every measurement was phenomenally better through chiropractic care, right? Including the patient experience, right? They enjoyed it much more. I just interviewed a medical doctor last night on my podcast, and he said in medical school, this is out of his mouth, right? He's been a pediatrician and medical doctor for 20 plus years. And he said, they literally taught us that we don't need God anymore, that we know it. And he said, matter of fact, if you bring up God, you're like scoffed and laughed at, like, we've got to figure it out. Your body's just chemicals and we manipulate the chemicals and we've figured it out. If that's what you want, if that's the care you want for you and your family, like, good luck. Okay. And I know I get a little bit rough sometimes, but I'm like, I've seen too many people hurt and destroyed in that model. And I could go on for the rest of this show about the statistics of modern healthcare. I'll save you the time. They're not good. We're the sickest we have ever been. We're not doing well. The life expectancy, it's dropped for the fourth year in a row. For men, it's down to 73.2 years. That's not impressive. Okay. We have 54% chronic disease in our kids. The number one area of cancer right now growing is children's cancer. Like, I don't know how bad it has to get for you to think maybe I should look around. Okay. And so you don't take care of your car like this. You don't mask symptoms in your car. You don't mask symptoms with your house. You don't just paint over mold and think everything's okay. But for some reason, when it comes to our health, we're like, yeah, just give me a pill so I don't feel anything. That'd be fine. And it's really, we're smarter than that. Like, people, like, if now I know you've been bamboozled and I know that, you know, propaganda's out there and they make pretty commercials. And like you said earlier, we just kind of have this, like, they have this God complex, which they do. Okay. And they don't want you to question their God complex, because if they do, they lose their power and authority. I get it. But ultimately, you can change that today by how you engage in that model, right? You don't have to go along for that ride.
100%. Yeah. Doc, again, that could be a whole other episode in itself. So another fun fact about me, I went to a business school for college, concentrated in economics, but my pride and joy of my undergraduate college experience was the writing of this thesis that basically advocated for integrative medicine in our healthcare system. Yeah. And I had a whole chapter, Dr. Ben, just dedicated to spending in the cancer industry in the US. And I mean, I had an idea, right? This was actually before my mom's recurrence, but I had an idea that, you know, it probably was corrupt, but what I uncovered during those 4 years was absolutely, like, there are no words to it, right? It was just beyond horrific. And the fact that there's so much spending that goes into the pharmaceutical industry, which is like the most profitable part of healthcare, specifically for cancer, yet our rates aren't improving, right? They're only increasing. And again, it's just this paradigm of, okay, let's treat the mutation in the cancer, because then once we do that, we'll be able to create another drug for the new mutation that it develops, right? Always failing to address the root cause of the illness. And quite honestly, it really took my mom's recurrence in 2018 before I took a step back and said, okay, you know, she's been on this drug, tamoxifen, for the past 10 years that was supposed to keep her, you know, 10-year mark, supposed to keep her cancer-free, and it recurred. So I was like, what really happened here? And then I started to actually understand the root problem was never addressed, which is why it recurred. And again, if you bring that insight or those questions to your oncologist, they just kind of say, oh, it's just it's genetic. You know, we have a drug for it. Here, next one, let's try chemo. And then once you've exhausted all your options, sorry. So I'm really curious about your dad's experience. Maybe we can connect offline on that. But
You know, it's interesting. You know, I've written two books. One was called Cooperative Healthcare, and then one was called Designed to Heal. And both of my editors, when I first gave them the manuscript, both of them accused me of lying. Okay. They thought I would, they're like, they read it and they're like, where are all your citations? You know, where's all your, you know, things? And a part of their job is to go get all those things. And so and then in both cases, they came back to me and apologized. And they said, it's actually even worse than you said. Okay. They couldn't, like you said, you went in kind of thinking, man, I bet there's some spending issues in big pharma and cancer. And then it's like, oh my gosh, it's worse than I thought.
Yeah.
I assure you, my friends, it's worse than you think. All right. My sister, who's an attorney, and when she first graduated, she graduated number one in her law class, and she got offered a big, you know, six figures to go work at this big fancy law firm in Nevada. And it was a law firm that, defended drug companies and pharmaceutical companies. All right. And she knew where I stood on everything, but she was chasing the dollars. So she went there. Honestly, I think she only worked there for a few weeks before she left. And she said, Ben, she goes, I know how you, you know, think and the stuff you talk about. She goes, I had to quit because I felt like I was participating in a crime. Like, and she was like a low level. It was a big major firm. She's like, it was like blood on my hands. I couldn't. And that's just the stuff she saw in a few weeks as a new attorney at this law firm. So you have to ask yourself as a person, you have to ask yourself, why would you participate in that model? The only reason you would is because of fear and propaganda. They have scared you to think if you don't do what they say and follow their recommendations, that you're gonna, whatever, die or something like this. And I'm sorry, the evidence actually suggests the opposite. I've got two children. They've never had a pharmaceutical in their body. They've never had a vaccine in their body. They've never seen a medical doctor. My son was born in a farmhouse in Minnesota. My daughter was born with a midwife. I haven't had a drug in my body since the last time I ever took one of those things. I haven't had antibiotics. My kids have never had antibiotics. Like, this isn't a game to me, and I'm not lucky. Okay. This is what happens when you live in alignment. And it's actually not even that difficult. I don't live some legalistic, perfect life and, you know, go. Now there's a lot of wonderful things people can do, but God did an amazing job creating. You got 60 trillion cells right now that are somehow organizing and doing trillions of things a second. And you think some little synthetic lab made chemical that looks like an M&M is going to go in your body and defeat that intelligence?
Yeah.
Please. The only reason you believe that is because you have been brainwashed to believe that. No, I'm not doctoring over the airwaves. I'm asking you to ask yourself, why do you have so much faith in that system? Why? They haven't proven themselves worthy of that trust. Okay. Now we could just keep blindly going down and saying like, well, what are you going to do? Well, I got about 9 million things that you could do. Okay. Like, I mean, if that's your question, but you got to often make that first step. And chiropractic, I was just joking about this the other day. Chiropractic is kind of like the gateway drug for holistic care sometimes because it's kind of accepted-ish. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, maybe acupuncture might be too weird for people or naturopaths. Like, I was just talking. I'm like, I'm not even that, you know, weird anymore. People are like, oh yeah, I go to chiropractor. I'm like, oh geez, I'm not even like controversial anymore. But it's kind of a good step for people sometimes as they first get started. So you got me all fired up.
I'm on the same exact page as you with all of this. And I think the funny thing too is that I think I mentioned this to Dr. McPhillan, but it's like, I'm 28 years old, right? So I'm still relatively young, but I've been around enough in terms of doing my research and seeing what my mom's been through in the healthcare industry. Yeah. But one thing I've come to realize is that the truth, in many cases, especially health, is often the opposite of everything we've been told. And to the point of vaccines, too, I mean, I got into a pretty interesting discussion with one of my really close friends who's trained conventional medicine. She's a pediatrician, and she is feels very, very strongly on vaccines for children, and has stated many a time that she thinks that, you know, it's a crime for parents to not vaccinate their children. And I recently finished this book by Dr. Robert Mendelsohn on basically, I'm sure you're familiar. Great book.
That was what your pediatrician might not tell you, or
how to protect your child from your pediatrician or something to that effect.
Yeah,
and again, just eye-opening in terms of everything we have been told, right, versus what is actually truth. And quite honestly, I mean, my stance on vaccines, not that I was ever really a strong advocate of them, has completely changed. And interestingly too, I started studying homeopathy over the past few years, and a lot of people within that community, very similar stories to yourself, have raised their children without any type of vaccines or medications. And I think the sad thing is that there are people like that that exist, right? But we don't necessarily hear about cases like that. But these children, as I'm sure yours have grown up with such robust, strong immune systems, no autoimmune disorders, you know, autism, all these other illnesses that we've been seeing on the rise over the past, you know, few decades. And you question why, right? Like, why are we experiencing, and you look at the increase in vaccines. Do you happen to know, like, the stat? I remember reading it. It was staggering. It was like, the amount of vaccines that a child receives by age 13 is at this point in time.
Well, it varies because you have to, and this is a, just for a quick caveat there for people, you know, so it used to be like before, I'll just give a really quick history, but before 1986, it was like 8 vaccines. Okay. So I'm 45 years old. So I was, that was my era. Okay. But then in 1986, an act was passed that basically, not basically, gave vaccine manufacturers immunity, no pun intended, right? They could not be sued for damages caused by the vaccines. And then you saw a massive spike, okay, in vaccine. Like, why wouldn't you? Like, there was no risk for the vaccine manufacturers. They could cause all sorts of damage and you couldn't sue them. So a lot of people don't know that. And then when you hear that, they don't believe it, right? Just like a lot of people don't believe that there's aborted fetal tissue cells in certain vaccines. They can't handle that thought process. Even people of faith. I have this conversation all day long, right? With people, and they're like, no, there's not. And then I'm like, well, are you ready? Cause I'm fixing to show it to you, right? Even with the COVID vaccines, some of the COVID vaccines, they don't have even the mRNAs, they weren't used. They're not in them, but they're used in the testing. So again, however you want to slice this thing up, right? If you're okay with aborted fetal tissue cells being used, to me, this is going to be too much, probably too much for your show. I would call that along the lines of human sacrifice. Yeah. If we think that we're going to use aborted fetal tissue cells so we can make drugs to make me better, my friends, that is not this world that you want to live in. Yeah. Okay. So that happens. The last one I saw just the other day was, if you get all of the recommended vaccines, and understand, by the way, they just now added the COVID vaccine to the childhood schedule, okay? 6 months or older to the childhood. So if you get all the vaccines, the flu shots, and remember, like, MMR is 3, okay? Measles, mumps, rubella. It's 3 vaccines in the one. DTP, diphtheria, pertussis, is multiple vaccines. So when you, and then add the annual flu shot, add now the annual COVID shot, it's if up to 18 years old, it's 100 shots.
That's insanity.
100 shots. Okay. And so people need to know, I would just, as a person of faith, I look at that and I think, you know what? 2 things. I think, number one, I don't think he just forgot all that. Like, I don't think he was like, oh man, I made these people, I forgot to give them 100 shots before they're 18. But I would also say this, and this is, so it's kind of like, you have to like think, you have to like just think a little bit, right? So I think to myself, okay, there's literally trillions of bacteria and viruses. Okay. I mean, there's studies that say, I mean, just literally inside of your body, there's trillions of them. Okay. So you don't freak out about those. Okay. You're not worried about those. There's way more viruses and bacteria than the handful of ones that we vaccinate for. Okay. So you don't even think about those other ones. But if I say measles to you, you lose your mind, right? Like, you're going to, no, not you, and maybe not many of your listeners. It's been propagandized to fill you up with fear. Okay. So, but what happens, and it's weird you bring that up, like, not weird, but I think about my kids, like, I mean, they're 16 and 14. Like, I'm a doctor, and I do not like have to think about my kids' health very often at all. They're just healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get the boogers. They get cold once in a while. My son had a stuffy nose the other day. Like, life goes on. They've never even had a Tylenol. Like, I do not have a pharmaceutical drug in my home. Nothing. Not over the counter, not prescription. And I'm not doing that to prove a point. It's not in my model of healthcare. I do not believe that God forgot to make synthetic chemicals for my kids that they need to live. Now, there's drugs they can take that can mask symptoms or try to lower a fever artificially. I have no desire to lower a fever. That's there for a reason.
Yep.
Now, again, people are like, whoa. I'm like, you've only been brainwashed to believe that.
Yes.
You've been guilted into thinking you're a bad parent if you don't give them shots, pills, potions, lotions. And then people say this to me. They say like, well, I just feel like I have to do something. I said, you are doing something. Like, letting your child heal is doing something. Okay. And I feel like, and sometimes when people say, it doesn't offend me, I've done this too long, but like, listen, I love my kids too. And I'm not just like, I don't love them. I'm sitting here going, it's amazing that God gave them an immune system that, by the way, is far smarter than my brain. That's knowing exactly what's going on in their body. And yeah, if it needs to raise the fever to 10 whatever to burn that off for them, they can lay on the couch and rag over their head and kisses from mom and dad and, you know, watch them get better. And so the only other thing that I've had happen is, I live, you know, I've done this for so long. I've got thousands of holistic doctor friends that live a very similar life. And I just watch their robust health, right? And I see all their kids that have been raised without vaccines and without drugs. And you just start to almost get like, so that fear goes away. Cause yeah. It's just like, this isn't hard. This isn't, matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. It's like fantastic. I don't have to worry about all those things. I don't have to go to all those stupid visits and have somebody I've never met tell me if I'm healthy or not.
Absolutely.
Like, this is not how I operate. But
yeah, and that's just why it's all the more important to surround yourself with those types of like-minded people, right? And see again that like, this is an option. This is a good and better way to live. And to your point about, you know, God gave us immune systems, God also created natural agents in the world to help support our immune systems. And it's funny too, I mean, in the context of cancer, you know, there's all these clinical trials on immunotherapies. And obviously the point of that is to help target our immune systems to kill the cancer cells. But a lot of the times they don't really work properly, right? Because they're man-made. But then you look to nature and you see things like mistletoe therapy, for example, which is a natural immunomodulator that essentially does the same thing, but it's non-toxic, right?
Yeah.
Yet how many people know about mistletoe therapy? Not very many, including your oncologist.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. And to the point too about propaganda, I mean, aside from just like speaking truth and having a platform like a podcast, like what else can we do to help get this truth out there? While I feel like so many people have their blinders on, and I mean, to bring an element of faith into it, I mean, you know, the Bible talks about being spiritually blinded. So how do you help, I guess, lift those shades? Especially in society today.
Yeah, it's a great question, Jacqueline. I mean, I still struggle with it after, you know, 20 plus years. I've got family members that, you know, they won't allow us into their house because we didn't get jabbed. I haven't seen my stepfather in 3 years. He hasn't seen my kids. Like, it's heartbreaking, right? And I wish that I knew the answer to that. I guess the scriptures, you know, also talk about that there is going to be some people with hardened hearts or, like you said, scales on their eyes, that all I know is to keep. Now, there's ways of delivering truth with grace. I mean, me and you are having a podcast together so we can get a little fired up, you know, and there's times, and I've done it poorly at times, right, where I just get so angry and frustrated that I've hurt people's feelings, and I've done it in probably an ungodly way. Okay. It wasn't my intent, but I still did it. And so I repent for that. But, I just try to keep living that truth. And I don't back down from conversations, not because I'm trying to shove my viewpoint down, but because, I mean, they feel more than comfortable sharing their viewpoint. So I'm like, well, I'm going to bring mine to the table. Like, let's just have a conversation. But so people have just been so, like you said, just so bamboozled. And all I know is to keep doing whatever I can every day in front of me. What I don't recommend is hiding. What I don't recommend is trying to stay below the radar. What I don't recommend is like, oh, I'm just going to kind of like do my thing, because that actually makes the problem worse. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why some people will say, like, I can't believe you talk about the fact that you didn't vaccinate your kids. I can't believe you say that on publicly. I say it all the time. And I say it for a very particular reason, not because I want to put my kids in harm's way. If somebody wants to come out and take my kids away because they're not vaccinated, my wife's an attorney, so that'll be interesting. Okay. But I also, I dare you. Okay. And what I mean by that is I will fight you tooth and nail with the truth to do that. Okay. It's what they want for us. It's self-censoring. They want us not to talk about it because they want us to feel like we're weird or we're crazy or we're guilty or we're shame, you know, shameful because we didn't get the COVID jab or we don't want to take their drugs or we didn't get a mammogram or whatever the scenario is. And I'm simply saying, for those of people that are awake, we have a responsibility to share the truth. Now do it with love and grace and communication skills and the wonderful way that you do it. I mean, we all have different personalities, but you've got to share it. You know, to use the gospel as an example. And listen, I'm a person of faith first. So like, I am not putting natural health on the same tier as the gospel. You follow me, right? So, yeah. I just mean, it's okay to share truth. The only reason that people often don't is because they've been made to feel guilty. They've been made to feel bad. They've been made to feel like they're quacks if they talk about that. And I think that's largely part of the problem. You know, I've seen some studies about the COVID vaccine. So I think we're at now the last booster shot, like only like 6 or 7% of people got the booster shot. And praise God.
Yeah.
You know, but before that, like I've heard numbers that like almost over half of the people didn't want to get the shot. Right. They got it, but they felt coerced and pressured into that. Right. That's crazy. If at that time, if everybody would have stood up or half of the people would have stood up and said, I'm not doing this. There's not enough research. There's not enough data. There's not enough this or that. I'm not doing that. A lot of this wouldn't have had to happen. Okay. But it's because people are like, oh, I don't want to say it because they're going to make me feel like I'm a bad person. I never wore a mask the entire time through COVID. Never, ever, ever did anything go over my face or my kid's face ever. We would be in grocery stores. My wife got sprayed with, they came up and sprayed my wife with like antiseptic. We were cussed at. We were sworn at. We were thrown out of stores. I was thrown out of movie theaters. I was thrown out of the mall. And I did it intentionally. I did it so people would have to understand this is normal. All right. You have to make a stand. I will not go along with the virtue signaling lies. I'm a doctor. Like, I'm not going along with a lie of healthcare. I'm not going to pretend that a diaper over my face is going to stop me from getting a virus. It's not how it works. And I'm sorry that you fell for it. I'm sorry that you were bamboozled, but I'm going to force you to look at me and my entire face and my whole little family's face and see that it's okay. All right. And some people that's confrontational. And to some people that's, you know, rude. Well, I think it's rude the other way. I think it's actually meaner to go along with a lie. And so I know I'm a stiff cup of coffee. I get a little fired up, but you know.
The verse that comes to mind too, as you were just talking, was, you know, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I think too, oftentimes at the root of every quick decision, right, is fear. Be that in oncology, if a doctor says you have X months to live, you need to make a decision on treatment. Like, those are fear-based decisions. And oftentimes, as we've seen with COVID and many other situations, those are not really the right decisions to make because, again, you need time to process. I know there are studies that have shown that like areas of your brain actually turn off when you're in that fear mentality. So you can't actually make a rational decision when you're in that emotional state. And sadly, I feel like intentionally or unintentionally, a lot of doctors kind of prey on that, right? In terms of getting their patients to do what they think they should do. So it's truly sad. And I mean, I don't really know how to correct it, right? I feel like our healthcare system is just beyond redemption. It's just too corrupt. So aside from being our own advocate and, you know, advocating for a more integrative approach, like what really can we do? And I guess like within that, doctors, I don't necessarily think go into medical school with the intention of harming patients, right? Like I think people have pure intentions, but I think schooling can often brainwash them, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. I think so. I will probably come out and I don't know when your episode drops, but if anybody goes and listens to our podcast, Designed to Heal, I had the doctor and he's a pediatrician and he literally talks exactly about what you're saying. How they're literally, he's very open. He's like, we're taught what to say to pressure patients into doing what we say. Like, this is part of literally the training. And he's just one of the rare people that has broken away, right? And you know, he happens to be a person of faith. And that's a big part of why he broke away, because his conscience couldn't do it. But I think I just want to encourage you, Jacqueline, and your listeners. So when you say, like, I don't know what else we can do, I don't really either. But at the same point, you said the most important thing, which is you. So we have this system over here that we'll let's just agree is corrupt. Now, maybe some of us think it's more corrupt than others. I am absolutely with you. I don't think it's redeemable. I think it has to crumble and be rebuilt. I don't think it's redeemable. There's too much corruption. And so it is what it is. But here's the good news. You do not have to participate. So you just stop going. Okay. I mean, do without what you want. But the nice thing is, at least at this point right now, you can just say, I'm not going anymore. I'm not taking myself or my family into your system. Maybe outside of, you know, extreme trauma, if you want to. I don't even know if I can even do extreme trauma anymore. I told my wife the other day, just like, if I'm laying down bleeding, just let me go. I'm totally fine. I think the only way I'll end up in a hospital is if I wake up in one because somebody took me there, because I don't think I can find myself going to one with, you know, normally.
Can't blame you.
But, yeah, but so for people to realize, like, oh, it's so bad, it's so crazy, it's so bad, it's so crazy. Yeah, it is. But you can also literally solve that problem tomorrow for your life, which is get out of it. They're not going to start giving your mom IV vitamin C in a hospital. They're not going to do mistletoe therapy. They're not going to do it. Yeah. They're not. Stop asking them to do something and that they're not going to do anyways. They're not even pretending to do it. I mean, they might put up a pretty billboard. So you've got to, I say that to people because it's like you can sit around like, oh man, I wish it was different. I just don't know what to do. And so then they find themselves back in the system, complaining about it and going bankrupt and taking the pills because they feel guilty and they feel scared. And the doctor said they saw this. And if I don't know what to do. And I'm just like, stop it. Stop it. Like definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing over and over, expect a different result. So each person has to deal with that in their own fashion. But I would say the more you learn about the system, the more you realize how bad it is, the more you realize I want nothing to do with that. So then, at your point, once I'm out of fear, now I'm looking for solutions. I'm finding holistic doctors. I'm finding homeopaths. I'm finding naturopaths. I'm finding chiropractors. I'm finding my own. Like, listen, God didn't design you to have 48 doctors to get well. You did a pretty good job. Like, I don't see a whole bunch of doctors either. Like, even naturopaths. I'm not anti. I just take care of myself and, you know, body heals. And so, and I stop poisoning it. I don't put drugs in it. I don't put jabs in it. And I don't poison myself as much as I can and understand. And when you do that, you know, body does a pretty darn good job. I know we've got to wind down here, but, I'm so honored that you had me on today. And I don't know if you'll ever air this episode if I was too rough.
I'm incredibly excited to share this with listeners. Again, you and I are both very passionate because we obviously have had our own personal experiences in the space. Yeah. And I think the beauty of people in this space is that they've been through pain, and because of that, they don't want other people to experience it. And that's truly what drives my work. And I know it drives yours as well. So I'd love to have you back on at some point soon, but where can listeners find you?
I think the best is go to our podcast, Designed to Heal. And I do have a website, just Dr. Benrall, drbenrall.com. I practice in Orlando, Florida, so we have an office there if anybody's interested in that. But to stay up to date on just on our podcast, and then to stay up to date on any books or, you know, speaking engagements or things like that, just through my private. And then I think we have Instagram. I'm not on social, but my office is, my staff is, but I'm not on it.
Wonderful.
So I will. If I don't respond to you, I don't know what. That's because I didn't get the message.
But. Sounds great. I will be linking all of those in the show notes. And my last question for you is, what does being well and strong mean to you?
Yeah, I love the name of your podcast. And I think it is everything that we talked about today. But I think the part people miss is strong minds. Right? Being well and strong in spirit, not just physically. It tells us eventually this is going to fall away. Our flesh will fail. Okay. And so this is not about living forever on this earth. Yeah. All right. It's about having strong in mind, right? We're told to armor up. We're told to be, you know, prepare, renew our minds daily. So I think the missing component is not, are we doing enough jumping jacks and burpees, which are fine, but are you exercising your mind, or are you a sheep that is getting bamboozled and lied to? So when I think of well and strong, just when I first heard that your show, I was like, of the mind, right? Like, where are you up here? The rest, you know, there's a million different ways to exercise and there's a bunch of great nutritional advice and I love it all. But like, this one is ignored, right? This one we don't think matters. And so that's my hope for people listening, is that they, you know, not just take care of the physical, right? And things like that, but that they're working on their mind as well.
Amen. I love that. And also too, Dr. Ben, my logo for my site is an olive branch. And as you may know, it's one of the most resilient plants, and resiliency has definitely been a consistent theme across this conversation. Amen. And in all the work you do. So
I love it. Well, it was such an honor to be with you guys today. Thank you for having me, and love you guys.
Thank you, Dr. Ben. I appreciate it. And I hope to have you on again soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to support the show, please subscribe, leave a rating and review, and share it with others. Be sure to visit wellandstrong.com to access notes from the show and to stay current with new content. I'm so grateful you joined me. Be well and be strong.